We read the scripture for this morning, found in 2 Timothy. It says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, according to the promises of the life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my beloved child, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and from Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God whom I serve, as did my ancestors, with a clear conscience, as I remember you constantly in my prayers, night and day. As I remember your tears, I long to see you, that I may be filled with joy. I'm reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now, I am sure, dwells in you as well. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power, love, and self-control. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share in the suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of his purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began, and which now has been manifested through the appearing of our Savior Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, for which I am appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher, which is why I suffer as I do. But I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard until that day what has been entrusted to me. Follow the pattern of the sound words that you have heard from me, in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. And by the Holy Spirit who dwells with us, guard the good deposit entrusted to you. You may be seated. I want to hone in on that 2 Timothy. If you have a Bible there, it's a verse that when I first came to Christ at 18, really just stuck out to me. It says, God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but one of power, love, and self-discipline. And I'm focusing first here on, of course, the timidity, fear. It's lack of self-assurance, lack of courage. This timidity, and when you go and you Google, okay, timidity, how many people struggle with fear or timidity, and what are the top things that they fear, what do you think some of them are? What are some of the things that people would say they fear the most? Public speaking, in some top 10, makes number one. Okay, the second one, I don't know, huh? Snakes, it was spiders, close. And then the third one was death. So I thought about that. I thought, I guess in some categories those might be true. But there are obviously more serious matters that we might want to be fearful of, right? Say like in your own personal life, you may be concerned about finances. You may be concerned about health. You may be concerned about your children or your grandchildren. I personally don't lie awake at night and wake up at 3 in the morning with what my friend calls night terrors, worried about spiders, or even public speaking, or I don't even think about death, really, because you know the Lord, you know he's taking care of things, although like you can get a little antsy about that even as a believer, but still, the things that bother me most are those things that you deal with on a daily basis. It's that health, those health issues. You know, whether I'm going to be alone my whole life for some people. Some, you know, with all the things been going on in the last 5, 10, 15 years, terrorism, the Middle East, those are very serious matters. You know, government corruption. You know, is my data going to be taken? Am I going to have identity theft? You know, those things may be a little more serious, a little more weighty than spiders or even public speaking, right? I mean, there are other things that we're timid about, and some of them are kind of silly, like the spiders and snakes and stuff. It's sometimes you're at a restaurant, and the waitress gets something wrong. Now, it's not totally wrong, but it's like a little wrong. And so, depending on how intimidating your server is, you're kind of like, it's all right, I'll just eat it. You know, it's fine. I ordered meatloaf. This is fish. I love fish. I'm good with the fish, you know. So some of you maybe can understand where I'm coming from there. You know, I have to say, I hate when I do that. When I'm timid about that stuff. I'm like, you know, they're busy. They got a lot going on. You know, they didn't get my food right and all that. I'll just let it go this time. You know, and then I get in the car later. I'm like, why did I do that? The fish was awful. I wanted the meatloaf. You know, timid. Paul addresses this timidity with Timothy in verse 7. He says, listen, God didn't give you a spirit of timidity, a fear. He did not do that. He gave you one of power and love and self-discipline. That's what he did give you. Paul addresses timidity with Timothy because why? Because it looks like Timothy's struggling with it. And it's interesting to me, too, that this is found in 2 Timothy and not in 1 Timothy. It's interesting to me that maybe after some time, after some life, after some exposure to life, Timothy began to be a little timid. That his experiences maybe weren't all that positive. Maybe they weren't all that encouraging. And so by the second book, by the second letter that Paul writes him, he says, Timothy, I see that you're a little shaken. So I want to encourage you. I want to build you up. And isn't it true that maybe as Paul was saying this to Timothy, he's saying it to himself? Because as we teach others, aren't we teaching ourselves the same thing? Paul maybe needed to hear these same words. Listen to what Timothy was faced. I was reading through 1 and 2 Timothy the last couple of weeks. Timothy had a daunting task to pastor this church. First of all, to grow his own relationship with the Lord, and then to help others to do the same. And by the way, Timothy, go ahead and start building a church. Train people for leadership. Inspire the troops. Correct problems and problem-causing people. Grow wise, Timothy. Deal with the petty. Deal with the heretics. And mature in your theology. Overcome persecution. Teach, train elders and deacons. Be an example. Suffer under hardship. Avoid some conversations that lead to nothing. And also, Timothy, just know in the last things it's going to get worse than this. There was a lot as you read through 1 and 2 Timothy of things to be maybe that would strike a bit of hesitation, a bit of fear, timidity. Timidity is fearful. It's lacking that self-assurance, lacking courage, bravery to hesitate. Anybody that is human and has a little wisdom and is asked to do something of any significance is going to deal with timidity. Maybe it's at your job. Maybe you've got a new role. Maybe it's getting married. If you're not a little timid, I would love it when people would come and ask you to do their wedding and you would meet with them for premarital counseling. And one of the questions I'd ask them right in the first meeting was, are you a little scared? Are you a little timid? And if anybody told me they weren't, I'd say, you have no idea what you're getting into. You ought to be scared to death. But anytime we embark on something significant, there is a level of fear. Do I have what it takes? Maybe it's even teaching Sunday school. Maybe it's, you know, your son or daughter is having children and now you have grandchildren. Like, how can I be the best grandparent to them? How can I impart any wisdom that the Lord may have given me along the way to them? How can I help them? Can I be effective at this? Can I be good at this? Can I make a difference? Every good, great leader, explorer has had to deal with timidity. And I mention explorers because I love reading about explorers such as Magellan, who sailed around the world. He's the first one, right? He had external fears. He had internal fears. External fears, at that time, they thought there were sea serpents out there. They thought there were these huge magnetic rocks that lined the South American border that as the ship would go by, it literally draw out any metal, any iron, out of the ship, and the whole ship would just fall apart right there in the middle of the ocean. He had weather to deal with, freezing temperatures at the Magellan Strait at the south end of South America. The reason I bring him up is because people like him that face their fears and press through them to get on the other side to accomplish wonderful things. There, we have plenty of people in the Bible we can refer to also, like, say, Moses. Moses was called by God, and what was his response? You've got the wrong guy. There's a Moses two blocks away. I think that's the Moses you were looking for, because this Moses has no ability. What Dr. Alsbrook said about ringing the bell, it takes no giftedness, no ability at all. Moses would have signed up for that. He would have signed up to ring the bell. That would have been where he felt comfortable. That's where he thought his giftedness was, at that level. But God had asked him to do something much bigger. And he was afraid. He was timid. Jeremiah is the same way. If you go back and just read the first chapter of Jeremiah, God asked him to take the scriptures, take his word, and speak it to Israel. Jeremiah had the same response, you've got the wrong guy. What about things that we have to deal with? Maybe we're not leading a nation out of another nation like Moses, or being a prophet like in Scripture. But maybe we're having to deal with things like cancer, Alzheimer's, aging parents, a child that's gone the wrong path and is paying the consequences for that. Maybe your finances aren't all that great. Maybe your health isn't all that great. You see, timidity is part of being human in the fallen world. Fear is going to be there. You're a human being. And this is a broken, messed up world. It's what we do with it. It's whether we allow it to determine how we make choices or what choices we make. I believe that's part of what Paul was getting at here with Timothy. And I think metaphorically, Paul takes Timothy aside and looks him in the face and says, you know what, you do have a big job ahead of you. It's incredibly difficult. I know very well how difficult it is. There's a lot to overcome. But I don't want you to allow this timidity, this fear, to determine your decisions, the choices that you make. Timothy, I'm telling you, God did not create timidity in you. That's not of God. That fear that you have is not from God. Timidity is not a fruit of the Spirit. Timidity is not a gift of God. To the contrary, the Lord has put a spirit of power and love and self-discipline in you. These are to determine your choices, your decision-making, power, love, and self-control. It's out of these that you are to live, to deal with people, situations that come your way. Timothy, God has a way of taking timid people and empowering them. And I want you to know that. This power that Paul's talking about, what does that even mean? It means to have the strength or ability to do something. Secondly, it's the strength and ability to influence others. That's the power that Paul's talking about. He's saying God has given you the power and ability to do. That is to press through, to overcome the fear and timidity. God has given you the power and ability to positively affect other people, Timothy. God was able to get into the heads the same message to Moses, to Jeremiah, to the Peters of the world, to the Timothys of the world, to the Pauls of the world, that he had indeed empowered them to do all that he asked of them. The result is that the Moseses and the Jeremiahs and the Peters and the Pauls and the Tims and the Yous and the Mees will face our fears, will press through them, and will overcome them. Power is seen in those people that face those fears. Think about our historical heroes. They faced incredible obstacles. And yet they stood there and continued to stand there and press through them, and they got to the other side. Whatever you might think of, say, Martin Luther King, or whatever you might think of Abraham Lincoln, or whatever you might think of some other historical figure that you love and adore, all of them faced incredible obstacles, which generated incredible intimidation, fear, hesitation, and yet they pressed through. God does not want you to be governed by timidity. He has given you power and ability and strength to do, to overcome. As a believer, think about this. What can life or circumstances do to you? What can people do to you? Christ is King. You are His. He's preparing a place for you. The Holy Spirit is here with you, empowering, encouraging, guiding, teaching, strengthening you. What can really happen? What is broken, He empowers. This is the God of the Bible. This is what He wants to do with you and me. So let me ask you this. What do you see in your life that you could say, hey, there's some of God's power being demonstrated in my own life? Think about this. Where would you be now if you've been a Christian for a long time, 5 years, 20 years, 40 years, or longer? Where would you be without Him? Sometimes I look at that and I say, man, I would be an absolute train wreck. What obstacles, issues, circumstances have you overcome? Think about your life. We've all had them. With what strength did you achieve all that you've done? This is the power that Paul is talking about and trying to implant into Timothy and saying, Timothy, this is what God has given to you. That second definition of power is power not only to do but what God asks, but power to positively influence others. God has given each of you the ability to positively affect other people. Ephesians 4 says, here's how you do this. You affirm them. You build them up. It says, what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Speak words into their lives, in other words, that build them up, that affect them in a positive way, that encourage them according to what they need. Have you ever met somebody that's paying you compliments or talking to you, and you almost feel like it's for them, not you? They're talking to you, and they're saying things, but it's almost like some kind of weird and complex thing that it's really for them. But the Scriptures are saying, no, that's not how we do this. It actually is for the person that you're speaking to. You're to encourage them. You're to build them up. You're to have positive influence in their life. Call them to something better. But here's a truth to this, is that it can't be flattery. It's a weird thing that a human being has, and we can detect that. When somebody comes up and just says something to you, you're like, that was my mom saying that, you know. So I just, you know, it's just flattery or whatever. But when it's true, and you know it's true, and let's say that person pulls you aside and looks you in the eyes and says, let me tell you something. What you did right there was absolutely incredible. Thank you for doing that. That really helped a lot of people. That spoke to a lot of people. That's genuine. That's true. That's positively influencing, affecting somebody. Don't be timid about this. You can bring out the best in people. God has given you the power to do this. So what does this look like? He goes on, not just this power, but this love. This love, Paul says, is here's how you use this power. Here's how to positively affect, influence other people by this love. Jesus said that you are to go and to love one another. Let's talk about love for a second. What does that even mean? To go love other people. How do you do that? Is it to have like a, you know, the Lord says, hey, Sam, I want you to have some real warm, fuzzy feelings for Bill over here. In fact, I want you to go throughout all the world and have warm, fuzzy, emotional feelings for everybody. And if everybody would do that, then the world would be at peace. If we all felt emotionally, or were emotionally, whatever, to other people. Is that what he's saying? Let me ask you this. The scripture says that we all know, church or not church, Christian or not Christian, we all can fill this in the blank. For God so loved the world that he gave his own. So it say this, that God so loved the world that he got real emotional. That God so loved the world he just created this big old fuzz ball and just said, hey, everybody jump in here. Come on. No, it says God so loved the world that he gave. That's action. So Jesus comes into the world. What did he do? He lived. He taught. He died. He resurrected. He ascended. It's action, 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 action the whole way through. Love is an action. Love is not the warm, fuzzy feelings. They may come. They may not come. Who knows? The person you're loving may not even deserve it, which they probably don't, but you're going to do it anyway. You may not have that warm, fuzzy feeling, but God says love them anyway. Continue to love them. What does this love look like? It's found, of course, in 1 Corinthians 13, but I'm going to condense some of the phrases there so you don't just blank out on me and go to some wedding you went to and not think of what I'm really saying right now. Love is patient. It's kind. It's humble. It's respectful. It's selfless. It's forgiving. It's honest. It's committed. That is how we are to go about our lives. Not with feelings and emotions, not with, but with these specific behaviors and action. Imagine if everybody right here in the church lived this way. What if we were all patient, we were all kind and humble, respectful, selfless, committed, honest, forgiving? What kind of family would that be? What kind of church would that be? What kind of country would that be? This is God's plan for humanity. It's where it's all headed. But it begins with us sitting here in this room. Just as it began with Timothy, it begins with you and me. We use God's power to love each other and those around you. We positively influence people by loving them like this. In this patience, kindness, humility, respect, selflessness, forgiveness, honesty, commitment. This is how we are to approach each other and those around us. Paul is saying, God has given you the ability to live this way. And thirdly, Paul says, Timothy, God has also given you self-control. Not only power, not only love, but self-control, Timothy. Self-control can be found defined as sound judgment, sound mind, discipline. And then I was thinking, no, it's not guided by emotion. It doesn't jump at its first thought about something or someone. It's like wisdom. Self-control is like wisdom, thinking before you act, patient, not rushing in, jumping to conclusions, but listening first, then making a decision. It's power under control. Self-control is being smart, reading the room and the person, understanding the situation. Self-control, as you read through the book of 1 and 2 Timothy, Paul will give him a couple of things, how this would look. It might look like something like this. Don't rebuke an older man harshly, but exhort him. Do nothing out of favoritism, but treat everyone fairly. Avoid getting into foolish, stupid conversations and arguments that go nowhere. Self-control looks like what Solomon said in Ecclesiastes. There's an appointed time for everything. There's a time to be quiet and listen, and there's a time to talk. Self-control hit me a few years ago with this phrase, just because you can doesn't mean you should. Just because you can doesn't mean you should. That's self-control. Just because you have the right to do something doesn't mean you should. Let me just throw this out. This will wake you up. There was an issue a year or two ago about a mosque being built in New York City, and it was near the Twin Towers. There was all this discussion about if they had the right to do it and where it was going to be and how can this happen and oh my goodness, that's so wrong and this is so right and everybody had took their sides and all this kind of stuff. And it was like, I just wanted to call into the national news and just say, hey, where's the wisdom here? Just because you can doesn't mean you should. Self-control, to think that over. Just because you can say something to your wife because you know what, she deserves me to say this back to her, doesn't mean you should. Self-control. I wonder how many missed opportunities are a result of fear and timidity. In closing, just these two last points. Missed opportunities because of fear and timidity. You are timid to encourage somebody, timid to speak something into their life, something positive, because you were thinking, who am I? They don't need it. Look at them. They're so secure. They're so together. That's the last thing they need, and you couldn't be more wrong. Every single one of us needs that encouragement. Every single one of us needs to be affirmed. You're a human being on this planet. You need it. I need it. We all need it. Missed opportunities to ask for forgiveness. And so the relationship continues to limp along, struggling in some hazy gray smoke. Timid to own your own mistakes. And so there's a missed opportunity for trust to be built. Nothing like when you know somebody's wrong and they just refuse to own it. And so again, the relationship struggles and trust remains broken and when it had the opportunity to grow. Timid to address your child, missed opportunity, and they continued down the wrong road. And let me tell you this, anybody that's in an office or a home, you know, climates of intimidation cause people to be timid. There are places that I've seen, I walk into many businesses, and you walk in and you can just feel the thickness of the intimidation. And you start talking with some of the employees and they're full of fear. They're just trying to check all the blocks. They're trying not to be seen. They're trying not to be heard. So the people are fearful. Coward. None of this is from God. These are all missed opportunities that you and I have. So let's turn this, and what God is telling us here is I didn't give you any of that fear, any of that timidity, but I gave you power, love, and self-discipline. And it's interesting to me that God didn't say, hey guys, these are available should you ever need them. He said, no, He has given them to you. God did not give you a spirit of timidity. God gave you a spirit of love, power, love, and self-discipline. These are something I would encourage you guys to memorize, just that one verse. To hold on to it, to use it, to pull it out when you're confronted with fear. And let me encourage you with these three, that to not allow timidity or fear to determine your behavior. Do not allow another opportunity to pass you by that you could positively influence or affect someone else. Do not allow timidity or fear to prevent you from doing something that God is asking you to do, or that you just feel in your gut you need to do or say. Again, imagine if everyone lived not in timidity, but in power, love, and self-discipline. What if they lived like that in Washington, D.C.? What if they lived like that right here in Waynesville? In our homes. Paul was embedding this in the heart and the mind of Timothy, but he's also saying again, Timothy, I want you to go and create this climate, this culture, this environment in the church, in everyone you come in contact with. So allow me to look you in the face and encourage you with this, that God did not give you a spirit of timidity, of fear, but God gave you a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline or self-control. This is God's desire for you and for me. This is God's desire for the church. And you know, one day when we get to heaven, all the pictures of heaven, these qualities, these characteristics are all there. That's where we're going. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for just walking us through this one verse. Thank you that you cared so much about this young guy named Timothy years ago, that you sent somebody into his life to speak some powerful, influential words to him. Paul needed to hear them himself, just like 2,000 years later, Lord, we need to hear them. Lord, I pray this week that we would be challenged with this, that we would examine our hearts and find those areas that we're timid in. Maybe it's timid to ask for forgiveness, or timid to say, I love you. Or maybe we need to stand up to somebody who's a bully of some sort in our life. Lord, give us that strength. Give us the love, the qualities that define love. And give us that self-control, that wisdom to apply this to our lives. And may you receive all glory and honor and praise through it, Lord. In Christ's name, amen.